These are the lightning talks, and we have our lovely, lovely Enrico.
That's all of the introduction. Okay. Hello again. Lightning talk about the results of the NMAMFD Dambov that we had a few days ago, where we discussed messages to communicate to the rest of Debian. So, how many hours does it take to fix 3 nasty RC bugs? Maybe 5? How many hours does it take to get a skilled person into Debian? Vagrant took me 3. How many RC bugs does Vagrant fix? So, we can fix bugs by getting other people to do the job. Become an AM. It can be very rewarding. There's no need to spend several hours per applicant. You just send a mail to front desk or ask Wouter while you are here and give it a try. If you don't like it, you can always quit. There's a few tips and tricks so that you don't waste much time. Trick number one, you wouldn't believe it in Debian, but common sense is more effective than you'd imagine. And you can use the templates only when they are convenient. For example, to interrogate a mass of people. But then you don't need to inflict them on poor sods. And you can avoid wasting the time of the applicant and your time. Reject soon. That's appreciated. You don't waste time answering silly questions and then you get rejected. You get rejected right away and you can do something better. And we have new technology. This is how I did the task and skills of Vagrant. I logged into lintian.debian.org and ran a script of mine that everyone can run, searching all the changelog entries that contain Vagrant inside, and put them into a file. The script will also sort them by time. And then exit the machine, copy the file locally, and attach it to the email. I can guarantee you that the list of every single contribution, and thanks to Vagrant in Debian changelog files, is extremely convincing, and it's about 150 kilobytes. And it's extremely convincing that it's done enough for Debian to be given an account. And that's how NM should be. What if the applicant is not that, still talking about people extremely skilled to be an AM, to be a new DD, I had an applicant that he had an advocate saying he's good to be a DD. And the advocate also said, when I applied to be a DD, Adam was asked for opinions about me, and he wasn't a DD, because he's not yet a DD. Okay, these people, and that's when it's fun. But what if the applicant is not that good? You don't waste time, reject, and then blame the advocate. NM is not for learning. NM is for getting an account. Not forgetting. It's for getting an account. Only if you are not AM, but you advocate people, only advocate people who are ready to get an account. Saying, oh, NM is so long, then it's going to take a year, and this guy doesn't understand anything of Debian, but in 1 year he's going to learn, is a no, no, no. You don't do that. Otherwise, NM becomes longer because we have to think, oh my God, how do I tell this guy that he hasn't got a clue? And only advocate people who are ready to get an account. We have mentors for learning, and we have DM for people who do not need an account. So, NM, I repeat, is not for learning. NM is for getting an account fast. And this concludes the results of what has been decided and discussed in the last ANNM DAM FD BOF. Christian.
So I have the worst duty about is going after Enrico. I will bore you with all my stupid stuff. So let's first unlock my computer, because as usual I forgot to unlock it. And here we go. So instead of boring you 5 minutes, I will bore you 10 minutes, because I propose lightning talks to have more time, because I don't speak that fast. Let's go. The first one will be the boring one. I will try to report to you about the internationalization sessions we did during this DevConf. We had 4 of them. We had many discussions about various topics. The following slides, we try to summarize them very badly, because I did this, of course, in the very last minute. And there is no place for questions, of course. These internationalization sessions are summarized on the wiki debian.org i89, which is a good source of information, by the way. We talked a lot about DDTP. DDTP, Debian Description Translation Project. This is what this translates the package descriptions. A lot of work is done in there. We discussed about the way to improve the process, particularly improve translation memory, because many things are repeated over packages. Also, give more power to some coordinators to be able to coordinate like they are supposed to be. There is no big authentication system in DDTP currently, so progressively it will turn to authenticated systems. We talked also with the wiki people, particularly Franck Limpia and also Jonas, about the localization of wiki, the work that's done currently around IkiWiki, of course also by Joyes, because we are feeling that such a wiki engine seems to be the right way to go for having a translated wiki. We talked a lot about whether or not we need to translate a wiki, so probably there will be a need to identify the documents that need translations and those that do not need because they are too fast moving. We talked a little bit about giving a push to translation teams, so organizing translatathon. In short, it means we pick a lot of translators and we make them run a marathon. While translating, of course. That's the idea. No, without running a marathon, of course. Wild idea being, why not use Debian money for this? So people go run over there and say this to the other people over there. We talked about the release notes. The release notes for Lenny, it was a very painful process. The translators had like 7 days to translate the release notes, because mostly because the release notes were prepared very, very late in the process. So also with the release team, we talked about this release notes problem. We imagined using the wiki for that, and finally it turned out it's not very interesting. Okay, to conclude, well, people need to have something fun to see, and you always see this every year, so I use a lightning talk for showing this, the maps. Of course, the maps of translation of DI. So in the past, very long past, we had one language, then Woody. In the meantime, we have released Lenny, remember. Then we covered Sarge, we're painting the world in red, then Edge. And finally, for Lenny, we covered 63 languages. And now for Squeeze, we hope we have 66 languages. We added Asturian, Estonian, and Kazakh. Of course, when you add Estonian, the difference is not very obvious. When you add Kazakh, it's quite obvious. So that's basically the results of i89 session and my fellow maps, of course. Thank you. So the next one will be more tricky. I hope you'll be able to see this. It's quite ambitious. I will try to explain the whole history of development of Debian installer in 5 minutes. So I'm already the genesis of an installer. This is a work by a little bit me, but mostly Joey S. and Franz Popp. So let's go and try and fail. Hopefully it won't fail. Okay, so I hope you see the video. If you don't see the video, I'm screwed. So in the early days, in the very beginning, there was nothing. Then Adam DiCarlo said, let there be joy. And joy was there, at the bottom, you see. In winter 1999, the history of DI starts. And Joey said, I hate naming project. So he named it Debian Installer. Then he created Anna. Anna is not nearly apt. So but for DI, it will do it. That's Anna. This is how Joey names projects. In November 2010, we had the first successful build. Then the graphical installer, which was completed 6 years later. The first boot. Oh, I'm late. And then during about 1 year, nearly nothing happened. You see, actually, these points are the commits in the ISVN. Then in 2002, in July, after the DevConf, Scholy Linux was needing DI, so Tolef Hin stepped up as DI release manager and began the work. In December, we had the very, very first alpha release in DI. You can see the beginning of the work around Scholy Linux. Some nice. The green ones are translations, the yellow are code and documentation in blue. In July 2003, Joey became the release manager of DI. And in November, And in November 2003, we had the first beta version of DI. And then up to April 2004, we had up to three other beta: PowerPC, Partman, install from USB, experimental 2.6 kernel, and a boot logo. Blah, translation work. In DevConf 4, we made a lot of work, and in June, we released the first distribution with DI, which was not Debian, but was Scholy Linux. Between August 2004 and March 2005, if you remember, everybody was awaiting for DI to release Sarge. And we made three release candidate release, and then we are releasing Sarge about now. This is the first release of DI. Then later on, as you can see, the work is going on. We are not lazy. We continue working. And at the end of the year of 2005, because Joey was a little bit tired of all this after 5 years, Franz Popp became the release manager. During that time, as you can see, the work is still going on with many people coming around, all these guest people, all these contributors, not being Debian developer. Two betas, two release candidates, and we had many more powers. Rescue mode, graphical installer, by the way. UDev, yeah, no. No more base config, no more two-step installs. And finally, in June 2007, we very safely released the i4H. Right? Now. Okay, slow down. And then, July 2007, December 2007, as you can see, the development is slowing down a little, but the activity is still quite high. And in January 2008, Otavio Salvador became the DI release manager. Boom! Oh, that was me. The green one are mine. Two beta release, two release candidates. We had the Win32 loader to zap Windows out of your machine, hardware speech, Bry, software red, and so these things. And in February 2009, what happened in February 2009? Oh, where is any? Boom, boom, explosions here and there. And now the work is more or less going on quite slowly at this time, and we hope to release an alpha release quite soon. Thank you very much.